You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor. It's a really, really word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information. Ask me for my word, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thick of my fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Number three, this is Dave Hodges, and this is indeed the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Before we rejoin our guest, Gary Haven, I wanted to just mention who brings us this hour that makes it possible. Without these people, we wouldn't be broadcasting. First of all, my good friends at Numana, and in these uncertain times, I hope that you'll get the peace of mind that comes knowing that you've prepped your family for food as best you can. I always say you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine, bare minimum. And Numana really will help you with the food. Mike Adams has done the comparison test, and they are second to none. Best pricing, restaurant quality, numana.com/Hodges, and use the promo code HodgesNOV5 to take 5% off. Have you thought about getting into Bitcoin? Well, I am thinking about it. I'm looking at a deal very carefully right now. And my friend Bob Kudler, financial advisor to the Common Sense Show, has a thing called TradeGeniusAcademy.com, and he's teaching people how to do it. All you got to do is go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com, look for the training course on cryptocurrencies, and take 50% off until the 31st. And then finally, we wouldn't have a show if I didn't mention Dr. Ted Brewer. Dr. Ted Brewer is like my human savior on earth. 3 years ago, as you know, he kept me from going under the knife for a knee injury with his supplements, and I was able to get through that and fully functional with my knee today. He's helped Doug Hagman with extreme blood sugar issues. That's been well publicized. And most recently, you know, with my disc problem in my lower back, I mean, I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't do anything. I was so unproductive. And then Ted to the rescue. He got back from Greece. I got a hold of him. I said, Ted, what can you do for me? And he sent me this magnesium sports oil, and voila, within 10 minutes, most of the pain was gone. And I'm living about 95% pain-free right now. In fact, I went and swung a golf club a couple days ago, took about 30 swings on the driving range. No ill effects, thanks to Dr. Ted. Find out what Ted can do for you. Whatever condition, Ted's got something for you. Go to healthmasters.com, and when you make your purchase, remember, we have a promo code there too. 5% off using the promo code DAVE5. So that's healthmasters.com, and the promo code is DAVE5. Well, we were talking about Donald Trump and his Christian worldview and some of his belief systems when we went to break. And, Gary, I would like to pick that up and have you expand on that, because, you know, I agree with Steve Quayle, who says every day, we're in a spiritual war, we can't win the physical war, we got to win it on a spiritual level. And this was what gives me hope when you talk about this.
You know, I had mentioned that my friend Rivera Pena is on the president's spiritual advisory committee and has prayed with the president multiple times and had private time with him. And Romero is a great pastor. Many people have seen him on Christian TV. He's on most days of the week, 100 million homes. And he's given me a great insight to the spirituality of this man. And Trump has confessed his faith in Jesus and is committed to it. And he has acknowledged that he knows that it is a miracle of God that he would be sitting there in the Oval Office, and knows that along with a blessing like that comes great responsibility. And he is struggling to live up to that responsibility. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that in my own Christian walk, I was most teachable And I'll laugh about that because I can think of how hard-headed I was and self-focused and ego-driven. You know, my first, I owned women's fitness centers from age 20 to 30. At 25, I was a millionaire. At 30, bankrupt. And people ask me, what did you learn? And I would tell them, well, I was a self-made man, and that cost me everything ultimately, because God had a greater use for me than that. When it became about others and not about me, then finally I was usable. And of course, Curves became the largest fitness franchise in the world, improving the lives of millions of women in 92 countries. And I think Trump's going to go through a similar metamorphosis. I think he is suffering now. He's been humiliated. His egotistical method of dealing with things is failing him, and he's got people around him that are unfortunately not believers in the Judeo-Christian values that have made our country great. And I think this is going to come tumbling down on him. And what we all need to be praying for is that he rises up from the worship of himself to the worship of he who created him and gave him this great responsibility. And we also need to pray for his protection. You know, these deep staters have a history of lone gunmen who get killed immediately after the events. They can't talk. Mysteriously have left evidence that they had plotted this, and you know he is in great danger. God gave him this job, and God can protect him. The prayers, and my friend told me that Trump told him that what Trump values most is the prayers of people for his wisdom and leadership and protection. So he values all these things. So I'm hopeful that he's going to be humbled and become teachable and deal with some of his issues that are in the way of his effective leadership. He has the principles of a conservative, of a constitutionalist. He loves people, and there is hope. And, you know, when you look at the lineup of those that would replace him, I'm afraid it's hopeless.
Yes.
So he's our guy. And, you know, everybody comes in a package, right? And you've got to overlook his weaknesses and some of the issues he has. And you've got to look at this hope that we have that God will raise him up and get his full attention and use him to take our country back. And so I would encourage everyone to begin their day in prayer for the leader of this country and to have hope. And, you know, he's made a lot of mistakes. You know, it kind of brings us to Steve Bannon. I was with Roger Stone on Thursday and Friday, and Roger had written an article that came out Friday morning that Bannon needed to go. And he expressed that although Bannon was the conservative voice in the White House, he had not used any of his political capital to fight for the Bundys, as an example, Joe Arpaio is another example, or foreign policy to bring our kids home. Instead of fighting moneyed interest wars, Bannon had just occupied space there. And it was unfortunate because Bannon's a good man who is right with us on the issues. But for whatever reason, he just occupied space in the White House. And for that reason, Mr. Stone had suggested that he move on and go back to Breitbart where we could do some real good. And it just so happened that was the morning that Bannon was fired. And Bannon was fired by McMasters, who is a globalist. He was a deep state operative, a George Soros beneficiary. And so we've had some really interesting just the last few days. And hopefully, when Trump has his great awakening, he's going to get rid of these deep staters and put people in that White House that will give him the kind of advice that will help him to do what he intended to do, what I believe in his heart that he wants to do. That brings up something else, too. This will be in the news tomorrow. We'll break it on your program right now. The original Spiritual Advisory Committee had 28 people on it. And these are Christians that pray with Trump and helped him to understand the Christian community, the evangelical community that helped him to get into office. And one of them today, and it's a black pastor out of New York, quit the advisory committee and really crucified Trump. Said that he would no longer affiliate with a racist, and so the media, and this pastor, by the way, released the names of these 28 people. Franklin Graham, for example, is one of them. And now the media is harassing these great Christian men and women across the country who've been Trump's spiritual advisors. So there is nothing that these evil people might do to try to bring down this president. So look for that in the media tomorrow, and you're really the first to know about it.
Well, who's the black pastor? And then my follow-up question would be, is he been bought off by Soros or a similar force?
You know, I didn't have time to look up his name. Black pastor, Northeast, should be easy to find. No, I don't think he's been bought off. I think he's caught up in what we were talking about earlier, the mass hysteria. You know, I think he didn't know that the anarchist had physically attacked people, and police officers, by the way, at this event in Charlottesville. So when Trump blamed both sides, he didn't understand what Trump meant. And so the psychology of mass hysteria has convinced him that Trump's a racist, which is nonsense, by the way. Any thinking person on any side of the aisle realizes that Trump has never been accused of that in any legitimate way. You know, and keep in mind, racism is the first go-to tool of the leftist.
It is, but there's a flip side to this coin. And when you turn the coin over to Charlottesville, the fact is that people protesting against monuments engaged in violent acts. They disobeyed civilian authority, and they attacked fellow citizens. There's never an excuse for that. When you see there's going to be trouble, you have an obligation to try to get away. And for this black pastor to do this means that even if he was right, and he's not, that Trump is a racist, he's condoning violence, and he's supposed to be a man of the cloth. Shame on him.
Yeah, and Trump was very clear. He condoned, he condemned all violence on both sides, which is the only reasonable position to take. Yeah, and I tell you, when Trump needs spiritual guidance the most, when he needs prayer the most, to turn on him, is a real tragedy. You know, we're supposed to have some faithfulness, and you know, did he have the false impression Trump was perfect or something? You know, I'm not sure what where he's coming from, but this is a real tragedy, and I tell you, I'm afraid this is going to gain traction. You know, I hate to be a doom and gloomer because I'm an optimist, but Tuesday in Phoenix will be really interesting to see how the people handle this. And Trump, if he doesn't get a pardon for Arpaio and announce it that day, man, what a missed opportunity. I hope he gets smart faster and sooner than later, because these people have an agenda and a plan. And you know, George Soros should be arrested right now. What he's done to this country, and by the way, people who have followed this, the color revolutions all over Europe were funded by George Soros. Right now, George Soros is funding this type of violence and anarchy in the country of Hungary, where the president had stood against bringing in more of these migrants. And George Soros is trying to bring that government down. And he's been doing it all over Europe. And now the color revolution has come home. The big prize has always been America. And George Soros is spending his money. Black Lives Matter, all these other, I think it's 200 organizations he has. And by the way, there's plenty of evidence that George Soros funded the white supremacists, or at least participated in the leadership of the white supremacists. He was working both sides of this. His goal is to create chaos and to terrorize the American people into submission.
He is in everything. And just kind of an aside here, Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio and I have been hot on the Jefferson movement, the CalExit movement, and Soros is for CalExit. He's funded it. But now he sent Joan Blades in, the founder of MoveOn.org, which is Soros' baby, and now they've infiltrated the State of Jefferson movement. Now there's two movements in Jefferson. He's trying to blow that up so there is a CalExit and California can break away, and I believe it's only the first step in a lot of states breaking away. His hands in everything. What I can't understand, Gary, and I'm not calling for violence, but there are violent right-wingers out there. I can't believe he hasn't been targeted. And then number two, why hasn't the man been indicted? He's guilty of inciting riots across state lines. That's a federal crime. It's a state crime. Where's law enforcement? Where's Trump? Where's the DOJ?
Yeah, you know, the right word is sedition. Treason is aiding and abetting the enemy of your country. But sedition is overthrow or creating violence and disorderly order. And he is clearly guilty of sedition. And you know, I've spoken about that quite a bit lately, hoping Trump would get the word. George Soros needs to be charged with sedition. And, you know, there's a warrant for George Soros' arrest in Russia. He can't go there. There's a warrant for his arrest in Israel. And these are for good reasons. And there should be a warrant for his arrest in this country tomorrow, and arrest this evil person who is trying to destroy this country by creating a civil war. You know what? I wanted to read a quick scripture. I was looking for the I have it in front of me, but I don't have the book it came from. But in the New Testament, God tells us because we reject righteousness, that for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And I think we're in that period of time right now. The majority of the American people this week, with their mass hysteria, believed a great delusion, but God promised that he would bring that over to us because we rejected righteousness, and I think that's what we're seeing right now.
I think it's as good an interpretation as any I've heard, but there's something else too. Steve Quayle read a scripture on my show months back, and it said, in the end times, all secrets will be revealed. And if you really want to know the truth about Hillary Clinton and her level of criminality, it's all there to find out. If you want to know about John McCain, it's all there to find out. So there's that element too. But, you know, how do I say this tactfully? The people that are tuning in right now obviously care, and that's why they're here. But there's so much apathy, laziness, and indifference when it's the criminality is so exposed. And that's the frustrating thing for me, is these kids, these people, I should say, have children, Gary, who have no future if we don't turn this around. And they're unwilling to get their fat duffs off the couch and do anything.
Yeah, and you add that to the dumbing down of our kids, the snowflakes, and their, you know, they surveyed college students a few months ago and asked them what kind of society, kind of economic system that they would prefer, and the majority of them said socialism.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's what we've taught our kids, and allowed the academy to indoctrinate them in, you know, got a major problem. It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, suffering. Let these kids suffer a little bit, can't find jobs, maybe even can't find a meal, which is what I believe we're ultimately coming to. And they may have a come to Jesus moment, and you know, I wish I had the right to work. You know, apparently socialism, Margaret Thatcher said it, socialism only works until you run out of other people's money. You know, and part of what they've done, they being the powers that be, the deep state, is bankrupt this country. You know, we not only have $20 trillion in debt on the books, we have to pay interest to the to private bankers on, by the way. But there's at least $100 to $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. There is no trust fund for Social Security. There's no trust fund for federal pensions. It's just $100 trillion. The average debt per family is $1 million. And people realize that they let their federal government borrow $1 million on each of our personal family credit cards. You know, there ought to be a revolution in this country, and take this country back from these thieves and liars that have stolen it. But there's going to be a reckoning to this. You know, the bill's going to come due at some point in the future, and I think it's going to come due under Trump's watch, because he is a perfect scapegoat. You know, Brandon Smith has been writing some terrific articles about this. He believes that they let Trump win because they needed a scapegoat, so that when they crashed the dollar and the economy in this country, that if Trump was on the watch, then Trump would get the blame. You can certainly see the media reinforcing that idea. And if that happens, I don't know that we'll ever have a true election. By the way, speaking of true elections, I don't know if you saw the Stanford study from 2 weeks ago, where Stanford University sent teams of people to, I think it was 370-plus voting sites. Did you see that?
There's a couple of them out there. The one I'm familiar with was Stanford basically concluded that Bernie Sanders had the primary stolen from him because of the voting machines that were in place in 16 states. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. And let me give your audience a couple more details on it, because it's astounding. And by the way, I shared this with the governor of Texas on the phone the other day, who had not seen it. And it was interesting, Texas is working on a voter fraud law right now, because there's so much voter fraud here as well as everybody. But the Stanford study was really interesting, because they went to all of these polling sites. And I think they polled 400,000 people, so it wasn't small. And they did a pre-poll. Who are you going to vote for? And it was the Democratic primary between Hillary and Bernie. And so people would say who they're going to vote for. And then after the election, they went back and they measured the pre-polling to the accuracy of the vote counts. And here's what they found. Wherever there were paper ballots, the results were consistent with the pre-polling. Wherever there were electronic voting machines, Hillary won by an average of 9% more than the pre-polling. So there was clear evidence that he who controls, you know, he who's, Stalin said, you know, I don't care who votes, I care who counts the votes. The people that own these voting machines, and George Soros is invested in at least one of them, they were rigged. Yeah, as clear as can be, Hillary got 9% more than she should have gotten anywhere there was an electronic voting machine. So again, we've lost our country. I think it was interesting when I was telling this to Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, you know, he was shocked And he said that, he said, send me the article, and I did. And he, the next call he was going to make was to the Secretary of State of Texas to look into this. And in Europe, they've done away. My friend from Spain was visiting last week, and he told me that there are no longer electronic voting machines in Europe. They only use paper ballots because they've learned this. So, you know, we have just clear and obvious control of who gets elected. And if you ask, well, how did Trump pull it off? Well, I think Trump probably won with 78% of the vote.
I would agree with that.
His win was so big. Yeah, it had to have been so big that the deep staters couldn't cheat enough to steal it from him and give it to Hillary. So,
you know, speaking of voter fraud, with voter fraud, Gary, it's just come out this week that there are 3 million more voters registered than there are people of voting age.
I think that was just in 7 counties of Southern California.
Well, you're close on that. Of course, what we look at there are the ghost voting. All you have to do in California now to walk in, Paul Preston, who lives in California, was telling us this on the show a couple weeks ago. All you have to do when you go in to get a driver's license, which I can't believe we give to undocumented aliens, and then you're automatically signed up to vote. So that's their way around it. And then I remember reading, well, this was like October of 2016, that there are 7 million people registered to vote in adjacent states. So you vote one place, yeah, drive across the bridge, vote in another. And the elections are hopelessly rigged right now. And if Trump hadn't had that kind of plurality, he would have lost. I mean, I thought the election was stolen. I was covering election fraud every other day on my website, and I didn't think he was going to win leading up to the day of the election because of voter fraud. I knew about 3/4 of the country were for him, but I'm thinking it's not going to manifest itself, and fortunately it did.
And, you know, the media, which doesn't report any of this, is supposed to be the watchdog, and that just demonstrates that they're bought and paid for by the deep state, and it's a part of how they control things. That and Hollywood and the messages they produce, and garbage and so forth. I wanted to mention also, I don't know if you've noticed, but they, the powers that be, have successfully hijacked the meaning of deep state. And what I'm talking about, you and I and most of your listeners know that the definition of deep state are all these moneyed interests in the media that pursue a socialist government in this country that's ruled by an oligarchy, and an oligarchy made of the wealthy, the powerful. But what they've done, the media has done, is change the definition of deep state to mean this, and everybody's heard it. It's those holdovers that are still in these departments that had worked for the previous administration. And pay attention to that because, you know, I think what happened was so much talk about deep state, Trump himself talking about it, raised the awareness of the average American to start thinking about it. What is this deep state thing? And so what they did is they changed the definition. They hijacked it. And now they, when they talk about it, the media, they always add those holdovers from the previous administration. Believe me, guys, that's not the deep state. Don't let them steal that word. You know, it's much like they stole the word for conspiracy theorist and made it a word of ridicule. We should be thinking conspiratorially. You know, the idea that a couple people would get together to acquire wealth or power at our expense, that's a conspiracy. And you better believe it happens every day.
Yeah.
So let's don't let them steal the word for deep state. Deep state is those people in power who run this country. And it should be very obvious to the American people now that they're in control. And we can't let them hijack that word. We need to call them out on that, call their attention. Have you seen what I'm talking about on that?
I have. But also, too, the fact that they're playing games with that means they don't like the attention. And, Gary, you said something earlier that you say that they're in complete control, and I agree. We are getting our fannies handed to us by the deep state and by the New World Order. However, the thing that keeps them up at night is the fact that we could reach critical mass with awareness, and they could hit that trigger incident, whether it's takedown of the internet, seizing our guns, choose one, and then they got a problem. And then they got a problem because they can't count on the entire American military to support them. In fact, they practiced for that in Jade Helm 16. They practiced fighting against rogue American military soldiers that were fighting a guerrilla war. That was part of Jade Helm 16. That's what keeps them up at night. So this is why they're going after us on YouTube and on our websites. They don't want us to continue to wake people up.
Yeah, and speaking of the Jade Helm, way back then, seems like a long time ago, I had the ear of the governor here in Texas, and I was able to share that information with him. And he ordered the Texas National Guard to observe what was going on with Jade Helm, and I tell you, we got some good people in this state. I attended the swearing in of the governor and the lieutenant governor a year or so ago, and I'm up on the podium with a small group of people, and I got to listen to the acceptance speech. And the lieutenant governor said, "I respect all religions, but I'm a Christian first, and I will pass no laws that are inconsistent with the Judeo-Christian faith." Then an amazing thing, and he'd already won the election, so there was no reason to say that unless he'd done it.
Well, where are the rest of those people? See, I said in October, even if Trump wins, these congressmen and congresswomen are so bought off by the deep state that there'll be a quagmire. And I said the only chance Trump has to have a good presidency, a productive one, is to clean house on Congress in 2018 and get people in there who are afraid of the people. Well, that's not going to happen. Not the course we're going. I'm not saying we can't turn this around. So what do we do to turn this around, Gary? I mean, I know we need to be truthful and faithful to our Christian beliefs and pray. But aside from that, what can the average person do, the people who are listening to us tonight?
Well, people really need to do their homework. They need to invest time and seek out information, and they need to think critically, which takes time, and pursue truth. And they need to not be afraid of the truth. And I tell you, the truth's pretty uncomfortable. You know, the majority of Americans still live in this delusion that that we're some kind of democracy, and that we have people that actually represent us. They need to have the courage to look at the evidence and accept it as it is, and then to share that with their family members and people around them. And they need to call out these people we've sent to Congress who vote 530-5 that poking a Russian bear is a good idea, and how stupid that is. And the idea that we can't get rid of this socialist monster bankrupt healthcare system when we hold the presidency of both houses, they need to demand answers. They need to make it so uncomfortable for their representatives that the representatives will respect their office in the Constitution and not be bought or afraid of their masters in Washington. You know, and I say this all the time, that the real enemies in Washington are the establishment Republicans, because, as Cicero said, more dangerous than an enemy at your gates are those traitors in your camp, because they walk freely among you. And we need to hold these establishment Republicans and the rest of the Republicans that follow their marching orders. Hey, Dave, before we go, I wanted to mention North Korea, because it's going to be in the news.
Yeah, you don't hurry. I mean, I can squeeze what I need into it. I don't want you to watch the clock. I want you to get in what you need to get in, and I'll adapt. But I wanted to throw this at you, too, because it fits right in. Were you aware that WikiLeaks is announcing, or has announced, that McCain and Paul Ryan are taking money from the Clinton Foundation?
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't seen that. Wow.
Well, you talked about the enemy is the establishment Republicans. I couldn't think of a better example than that.
Yep. You know, it certainly explains. And John McCain is your senator, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's not my senator. He's a man that tried to steal my house and that of 300 of my neighbors. No, I know who and what John McCain is.
What's going on in Arizona that they think McCain, who met with ISIS and wants to go to nuclear war with Russia, is a good idea? My goodness.
Well, they're the same people, the 56% of Americans that can't find London on a map or name the vice president. Sorry, fellow Arizonans, but if you voted for McCain, you're part of the problem.
Yeah. So let me just say a few words about North Korea. You know, how quickly did that go from front page to back page? It was an amazing thing to watch. In fact, I was getting calls to go to the media because I'm very knowledgeable about the electromagnetic pulse threat to America. That could come from a North Korean satellite, two of them, which fly over our country twice a day each, at the optimum altitude for an EMP. Of course, my movie, Armageddon, was based on that. Mike Norris and I wrote the script on that 3 or 4 years ago, and man, before Charlottesville, it was all you would read about in the news. I think they created a trap for Trump, and this is really important. I was so concerned about it that I went to every person I know that knows Trump and tried to get the word to him on this. And it was me being with Roger Stone because I've explained it to him a couple days ago, and he does talk to the president frequently. But anyway, the North Korean situation is very, very concerning. Trump's response and reaction is really a better word, was boisterous and threatening and trying to scare Kim Jong-un into not threatening us or not develop weapons. And it was just it was the wrong way to handle it. You know, it was putting Trump in a corner where if Kim Jong-un did something, Trump would have to do something back. And his choices were awful. All of them would have led to major consequences that none of us want, including artillery shelling of Seoul by North Korea, or perhaps even some kind of nuclear exchange. Awful choices. What Trump doesn't realize is that the Trump card is this satellite that goes over our country, and that it very likely has a nuclear device on it. And so at the right moment, Kim Jong-un would simply detonate that EMP device. And people that have seen my movie and people who have been listening, you know, according to two congressional studies, that the detonation of that device would destroy all electronics across this country, which means there's no electrical grid. Most cars would not run. There would be no fuel, even if they did run. There'd be no banking, no internet. And Congress predicted that 90% of Americans would die within 12 months. And I don't believe Trump is aware of that. And I believe, furthermore, that the deep state has kept that information from Trump. Because when you get to the third level of power, the third paradigm, the goal of the Illuminist, and this is the words of Henry Kissinger, the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong America. At the top level, above the deep statists, they want to bring America down. And they also have a depopulation agenda. And, you know, we're a country that's 5% of the world's population that consumes 25% of the resources. So they have no regard for America. They're globalists. They want world government. They want a authoritarian dictatorship. an oligarchy ruled by a few. And the funny thing is, if anything could be funny about it, is that the deep state in America will lose their positions of power. There'll be no military-industrial budget. You know, you read the, you printed the Deagle report, and one of the things you pointed out was the military budget goes from $700 or $800 billion to $10 billion after this depopulation event occurs. So it's kind of funny. The deep state are going to destroy themselves at the hands of the Illuminists, who are the absolute power.
Well, I think they've prepped, though. They have their underground hideaways, and we're not invited to the party.
Yep.
I mean, one of my major complaints, Gary, about our government is that the Russians will put 40 million people inside the mountains in safely tucked away bomb shelters, and we do nothing for our people. And people say, oh, you're saying we don't have civil defense? And I say, no, not for the masses. But the elite have lots of civil defense. In fact, in 2011, at Operation Mountain Guardian in Denver, they practiced this. They shut the airport down for 2.5 days, and all these dignitaries, including the president, came in, and they disappeared. Well, I'll tell you, they disappeared too, under DIA, and they probably traveled on the tunnel system. They've practiced for what they're about ready to bring to us, and they think that they're going to survive it.
Yeah. And by the way, the I'm sure your audience is thinking about this: what can and should Trump do? And this was my instructions or my advice that I tried to get to Trump. He needs to tomorrow morning shoot the satellites down. Shoot them down. And there's a space laser weapon that was reported on this week that can do it in a moment, because that's the Trump card. That's the trap that the deep staters have cornered Trump on. And by the way, the reason I think this is going to be in the news is that every 2 years there's a South Korean and American war game that practices doing battle with North Korea, and it starts this next week. And the last time it happened, Kim Jong-un fired Scud missiles and it did other provocative things in response to it. So you're going to see in the news this week North Korea rising back up and the Trump trap being reset. And by the way, this country is bankrupt and the bills are going to come due. You know, I used to watch Married with Children, and there was an episode where Peggy Bundy was selling cosmetics, and she became the top salesperson. The only problem is she was her number one customer, charging on her credit card. You saw that or not? You know, our country has been providing goods and services abundantly while we'll be charging on our credit card, and that credit card now is in the hundreds of trillions, and so that debt's going to come due. And the globalists know it, and they need a scapegoat, and they've got Trump there for that purpose. And they could use a war, even a diminishing of the American population. So I'm very concerned. And by the way, you know, I hate to sound negative, but I am hopeful that God is going to give us a reprieve, and I think that's why He put Trump in office. But on the other hand, my Bible says that there's going to be a world government. It's going to be run by the Antichrist. It's going to have an economic system with a mark you've got to take if you want to feed your kids. And there's going to be a false prophet. And I tell you, the Pope's are looking more and more like that with his nonsense. So, you know, as a Christian, you want to say, come, Lord Jesus. As a father and a grandfather, you kind of want to say, maybe you could wait a while, but give us our freedom back for just a bit.
Well, I think we're going to be waiting for a while, because I think we're a long ways away from being redeemable in God's eyes. I don't profess to know the mind of God, but I look at our country, the murder of 70 million babies, and now we have 97 genders. And in California, they have a bill in which they're saying if it passes, you'll go to prison for 1 year if you mispronounce one of the 97 gender stereotypes. Just for mispronouncing it.
Crazy.
It is crazy. And how can God respect a people that's making an abomination of his creation?
Well, he can't do it for very long.
You can't. Well, Gary, before we let you go, I wanted to, because we have new people joining us all the time, and we're on newly up in Utah on KYAH Radio. Red State Talk Radio has been with us now for a couple of months, but it's been a while since you've been on, and I wanted to give you public credit for what you did. And I know you don't seek that, but I want to tell you how much I admire you. You spent untold millions of dollars of your money, but more importantly, you disrupted your family life, you risked your life, and you and people like Joe Biggs, who used to be with Alex, went in and basically saved the lives of a million people in Haiti, while conversely, Hillary Clinton and her Clinton Foundation stole $2 billion of Haitian relief money. And I just wanted to make sure that new listeners are aware of what you did.
I thank you for the kind words. You know, when Hurricane Matthew went through and displaced a million people, we brought in 3 aircraft and tons of food and medical supplies and doctors and went out in the field. You know, we helped feed certainly thousands and thousands of people. We actually did save the lives of dozens and dozens of people because we were the only air rescue from 2 of the major cities, only ones that would fly out the people that were critically injured from the hurricane. And I got to brag on my wife for a minute. My wife's kind of made it a hobby now to send food to Haiti. And this year, she's on target to send 1 million pounds of food to Haiti.
Wow.
That's 6 million meals. I'm really proud of what she's accomplished. And she does it like before breakfast every morning. She's arranging containers with rice, beans, corn, rice meals, medical supplies, dental chairs, you name it. And there's a great organization that people can support called Lifeline, lifeline.org, that I'm working with now that have been there 37 years. They have a school with 1,200 children in it. They built 1,000 homes. And lifeline.org is a great partner for us. But I'm really proud of my wife. She sure makes it look easy. Imagine that, Dave, 1 million pounds of food. And, you know, we purchase it ourselves, and a lot of it's donated, which is pretty cool. And we pay the shipping on it. But she's still saving lives in Haiti right now.
That is amazing. And you know, she, I'm sure, lives a very comfortable and nice life thanks to your guys' efforts through all the years. And it reminds me kind of the Last Supper. See, leadership and being a good human being starts with service. And this is what you're seeing here with the Last Supper. What was going on? The disciples were fighting about what cabinet position they were going to get in Jesus' new kingdom because they thought he was going to rule. And he was frustrated. But rather than throw his arms up and say, "Stop, go to your room," he got out a bowl of water and washed their feet, and he showed them the true meaning of leadership with service. And that's what you just conveyed to me about what your wife is doing and what you did. And I want to give credit to Joe Biggs and what Joe did in Haiti, because it was a wonderful act of kindness. And if everyone can't give 1 million pounds of food, but people can be of service, and if we would do that, just through the mere momentum of spirituality, Gary, I think we could turn a lot of the deep state treachery back.
Yeah. Good words, Doug.
Well,
good,
my friend,
just spending this time with you, man.
This has been incredible. It's always a great experience when you come on, and you're such a good friend to the show, and you're a good friend to our country, and I wish you continued prosperity and good luck, and keep fighting a good fight for us.
Thank you, Doug. God bless you and your audience.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Haven, and we need more people like Gary Haven. We need more people like Doug Hagman. We need more people like Ted Brewer. I'm just humbled that I you know, walk among these people, and I'm able to contribute my very small part to their very large part in their contributions, because we are in a fight for humanity. We are looking at a world where they want to pervert men and women, and I'm not talking transgender. I'm talking about changing male, female. What was it? The professor in Canada got his Facebook account terminated because he said there's two genders. I mean, this is how crazy it's become. We are at a crossroads. It's not just we're fighting for our economy, we're fighting for our constitution, we're fighting for humanity. With transhumanism, they want to make monsters. And that's the only word that comes to mind. They want to make monsters out of all of us. It's absolutely insane. And my message to all of you is that I would hope that in the, at least the near term, you'll become what I've called before missionaries of the truth. When you hear a show like with Gary Haven, share it with everyone you know. When you hear the good work that Doug does or Steve Quayle or somebody else, share it. We need to raise awareness because they do fear the sound of marching feet, and we need to create that right now. We don't have a lot of time left. Next week, I'm going to be playing a pre-recorded interview that I'm going to do with James Wesley Rawls. And wait till you hear what he has to say about what the deep state is going to do next. And I want you to keep in mind that Jim is one of the most conservative people I know, known for not jumping to conclusions, known for not making unsubstantiated statements. And I need you to tune in because I know where he's going to go in this interview. And I know a good portion of the interview, he's going to say, okay, there's Charlottesville, there's Boston, probably Phoenix will be next. And you know what he's going to say? They're taking it to another level, and he describes exactly what's going to happen. And I would really encourage you not to miss out on that particular experience. Just want to remind everybody, as always, we can be heard or read about on the Common Sense Show. YouTube videos go there as well as articles. And I put a lot of Mike Adams stuff up here. We're friends. He does such good, good work. And we do have the YouTube channel at thecommonsenseshow.com. And I've been told I don't promote this stuff enough, so this is why we're doing it now. And, of course, we have our show here every Sunday night from 8 to 11 Eastern, 5 to 8 Pacific. And you can hear we got some pretty darn good guests. And I think we got a pretty darn good audience. Now let's roll up our sleeves and get to work and go out and reclaim our country and the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us. Go out and have a great week. We will see you back here next Sunday.